Yet secretly, he enjoyed the irony that the New Morality's loudly proclaimed insistence on diversity had allowed a Jew to rise to the top of the scientific establishment, such as it was. So it came as something of a surprise to Feingold when the emergency call from Archbishop Overmyer himself arrived at his desk in Washington, D.C. "What's the Archbishop want me for?" Feingold asked the empty air of his office. Actually, he was speaking to God, his God, the God of Abraham and Isaac, and countless Jews slaughtered down through the ages for nothing more than being Jewish. God had never answered his questions, not once in Feingold's 62 years, but still he asked. Chapter 5. The Archbishop received Feingold not in his office, but in the quietly opulent dining room of his residence. Walnut-paneled walls, a long, massive dining table polished to a mirror finish, ornate chandelier hanging from a coffered ceiling. Not a bad way to live, Feingold thought, almost smiling at the genteel scruffiness of his own modest bachelor's quarters. The Archbishop was standing by the high-arched stained-glass window as Feingold was ushered into the dining room by a blank-faced young man in a butler's dark raiment. The window's stained-glass picture depicted Christ and the multitude with the loaves and fishes. "I hope lunch is better than that," Feingold said to himself. Turning the full wattage of his best smile on the scientist, the Archbishop greeted him with outstretched arms. "Dr. Feingold!" Archbishop Overmyer cried, advancing toward him. "How good of you to come on such short notice!" He must be in deep trouble, Feingold thought. The Archbishop led Feingold to the dining table. He's a lot heavier than his public images show him, the scientist realized. Even in the black suit he looked like a dirigible. Too much good living. Bad for the heart. Next thing you know he'll need replacements for his knees and hips. Two places were set. The Archbishop took the high-backed chair at the head of the table. Feingold sat at his right. A pair of servants poured wine into crystal goblets for them. Feingold took a cautious sip. Not bad, he thought. Nicely sweet. Then he noticed that the Archbishop's wine was a considerably darker color than his. "Mine must be left over from a bar mitzvah," Feingold wisecracked silently. "I must tell you," the Archbishop said after a healthy swig of his own wine, "that I admire the way you've handled the Science Foundation. It must be very difficult to keep those secularists from going off on wild tangents." Feingold made himself smile. "They do like to have the freedom to pursue knowledge wherever it leads." "Which can be dangerous, can't it?" "It certainly can." A servant brought their first course. Gefilte fish for Feingold, broiled trout for the Archbishop. "You cooked us kosher?" Feingold asked. Overmyer bobbed his head. "We respect all religious traditions." Feingold tasted the flaky fish, then dabbed a little horseradish sauce on it. "Not bad." The Archbishop chewed thoughtfully for a silent moment, swallowed, then asked, "You're aware of this stoner phenomenon, aren't you?" So that's it, Feingold thought. "The man who sent that message about being from the stars?" "Yes." "The Oval Office is putting together a special top-secret committee to look into it. Him." "I know," said the Archbishop. "You are chairman of that committee, are you not?" Wondering where this was headed, Feingold remembered a basic bit of survival tactics. When in doubt, protect your people. And your ass. He said, "I am." "It's all classified top-secret. They want to keep his message from leaking to the news nets." "We must protect the public," Overmyer muttered. Keeping his thoughts to himself, Feingold said, "I've restricted the information to only a half-dozen astronomers, as the Oval Office has requested." "Requested?" Feingold repeated to himself. "With a gun to my head, they requested." "There were many others at the various observatories that received his message," the Archbishop said almost ominously. Feingold waved a hand in the air. "Oh, they all signed secrecy agreements. The news won't leak out, don't worry." "Good," said Overmyer. "I want to be kept fully informed about this."
"Of course."
"You will report directly to me, in person."
"A pleasure," said Feingold, thinking,
"He's scared all right. I'll have to walk on eggshells about this." Feingold waited for more. When the Archbishop returned his attention to his trout, he prodded, "So what is it with this character, claiming he's from the stars? Is he crazy or a subversive or what?" Looking troubled, Archbishop Overmyer revealed, "I've met the man."
"Stoner?"
"Yes."
"He's really from the stars?"
"I'm almost convinced that he's telling the truth. He has strange abilities."
Trying to hide his eagerness, Feingold asked,
"Such as?"
The Archbishop pursed his lips.
"Then he can appear and disappear at will. He could pop into this room right now if he wanted to."
"You believe this?"
"I've seen it. Members of my staff have witnessed it. He claims he's using technology from advanced alien civilizations."
Feingold couldn't help uttering, "Wow."
"Some of my people fear that he's an extraterrestrial himself, made up to look like a human. They think he might be the advance scout for an alien invasion of Earth."
"Bullshit," Feingold thought. "That's exactly the kind of Narishkeit conclusion that a know-nothing idiot would jump to." "Alien invasion. If they're smart enough to cross interstellar distances and come here, why the hell would they want to invade us? Primitive thinking. Paranoia in high places." But he said nothing, revealed none of his thoughts. Suddenly clutching Feingold's arm, the Archbishop said,
"You are the nation's top scientist. I need to know what you learn about this man, how we can deal with him, how to protect ourselves against him."
Feingold looked deep into the Archbishop's eyes and saw real fear there, and something more. Along with the fear, there was a desire, a passion, an avid fervor to gain the power that this starman represented. "So," he said to himself, "you want me to help you learn how to get your hands on his superior technology? After a lifetime of belittling science and persecuting scientists, after generations of working night and day to tear down Darwin and Einstein and every other idea that your narrow little minds can't handle, after years and decades of beating us into conformity, after trying to turn us back to the 12th century, now you want me to help you. Now you need science and scientists to deal with something your little pygmy minds can't understand, something that's scaring the crap out of you.
I should help you? I should spit in your soup, you fat, overstuffed son-of-a-bitch bastard."
But Bertram Feingold was a scientist. A scientist who was being offered the chance to study what just might truly be technology from the stars. He took a deep breath, then smiled and said reassuringly to the Archbishop, "I'll do what I can, Your Eminence. I'll be happy to help in any way I can." Chapter 6 Archbishop Overmyer finished his lunch with Feingold as swiftly as he decently could, then called for one of his aides. While they waited at the dining table, the Archbishop assured the scientist,
"We'll give you every scrap of evidence we have about Stoner. Every security camera record of his appearances in various offices here in our center. Intelligence files on his activities elsewhere. He claims to have spoken with leaders in Greater Iran and China, you know."
"I didn't know," said Feingold.
"And there are records of his starship's arrival in our solar system more than 20 years ago."
"The official explanation for that..."
"Yes, yes, I know," said the Archbishop, with an impatient flap of one hand. "But it's obviously connected to him."
Feingold hesitated, realizing that the next question would be the make-or-break one. If he's okay with it, then we can move forward with a real investigation. If not, he'll chop off my head. The Archbishop noticed his reticence.
"Something is bothering you, Dr. Feingold?"
Feingold nodded. It's that artifact that's supposed to be out in the asteroid belt."
"You know about that?"
the Archbishop asked, his flesh-unfolded eyes narrowing to little more than slits.
"I've heard rumors," Feingold replied, trying to take some of the weight off the subject.
"We all have. An alien artifact. They claim it drove Martin Humphreys insane. Temporarily, of course."
"Humphreys refuses to allow anyone to see the artifact."
"Then it's real?"
"Apparently so."
Licking his lips with anticipation,